This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I guess. Today on a radio show, let's see. We got Chris Harrington joining us straight up at 10 o'clock. Talk to him about the Grizzlies. But other than that, it's me and George Ruggiero. George is filling in for Jeffrey. Jeffrey is, well, he's on vacation, but only in the very loosest sense. He's on vacation from this radio show, but he will be doing his own radio show later in the day. So some kind of vacation. Anyway, George, welcome.
Thank you.
Is it true that Gabe Tall calls you Italian George?
That is true.
And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about being Italian George?
It's factual. It's a little on the nose.
Are both mom and dad Italian?
Yes.
The Ruggiero. What was mom's maiden name?
It was Malerba.
Malerba.
But she was adopted, so.
I see. Have you been to Italy?
I have not. Weirdly enough, I've been to a couple places in Europe, just not
But not Italy. Yeah. Anyway, George will be filling in for Jeffrey. Jeffrey is away this week. It means we won't be playing Righty Than Right trivia, sadly. But there you go. We do have a lot to talk about. Today I wanted to start, though, with I woke up to the news that Claiborne Temple has been destroyed by fire. And it's just a gut punch, man. It's just devastating. Obviously, right there across from FedEx Forum, and it was the launching point for the sanitation workers' marches back in 1968. It's right there. The I Am a Man Plaza is right there. It is really a sacred and has been a sacred place in the city, was being restored. The building dates to 1892. When it was honestly, it was Second Presbyterian Church, which was a entirely white church, and then it that congregation moved, and it became really the center of the civil rights struggle in the late 60s, and it's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful facility. Mayor Paul Young was evidently there this morning. I said the work will continue. But it's just a blow, man. It's just a blow. It feels like the city has taken a lot of them recently. And so that was tough. And of course, right there near the back door of the Grizzlies, the home of the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies, of course, finished up their season over the weekend. But cast up sort of a pall over the whole thing. So thinking about everybody associated with Claiborne Temple and all the work that has been done there. And I feel bad. I just feel sick about it, honestly, this morning. Onward to the Grizzlies, who I'm not feeling so great about that either, who wrapped up their season with a pretty gritty performance Saturday. You have to say, didn't expect them to be as close as it was. They ended up, missing a foul shot to try to get into it, to try to tie it up at the end. Didn't expect that it would be that close. Scottie Pippen was terrific yet again. May have found something there. Looks very clearly like the Grizzlies have found something there. But the Grizzlies lose. They are swept by Oklahoma City. And season 24 in Memphis is in the books. Next season will be their 25th in Memphis. And I'll be honest, I'm a little worried about them for all kinds of reasons, which we will get into. But I think today what we'll do is George and I will talk about the Grizzlies a little bit here in the open, and we will play some of the Zach Kleiman comments from yesterday's press conferences. And then in the next segment, we'll take your calls to see what y'all are thinking about the franchise as they wrap up year 24 and head into year 25. And then Chris Harrington will join the show. We'll talk about it with him. And then we'll probably get into the NFL draft after that. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders finally gets drafted. Never would have imagined, never in a million years would have imagined that he would be the second quarterback drafted by the Cleveland Browns. Just kind of amazing, isn't it, George? Like, it was something to watch unfold. So we'll get into that towards the end of the show. But let's, before we sort of dig into what I'm thinking about all this with the Grizzlies, let's just hear from Zach Kleiman, and we'll play the answers to the first two questions that he was asked yesterday, right out of the gates, Drew Hill and DeMichael Cole. Drew covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, DeMichael Cole for the CA. They asked two pretty pertinent questions. And so let's take DeMichael's question first. This is about Thomas Isolo, the interim head coach. All right, let's pause that right there. So, George, you're a tea leaf reader. I'm just going to say you are, even though they aren't. what did you glean from that on the head coaching future at with the Memphis Grizzlies?
To me, that specific answer. So obviously, this was before we hear from any of the players, which obviously you and I
right.
have a little bit more information than Zach did at the time. That feels almost like a non-answer.
It was
like,
it was total nonsense. You know,
we'll
it's the old,
on
and
it.
I'm not blaming him at all. The old, I've been totally focused on. Like, you don't think he's considered whether he's going to have. You just, I don't. Of course, you wouldn't say.
Of course,
you could say. There's a couple answers to that. You could say, I've been totally haven't thought about it. Totally focused on whatever else. Or you could say, listen, we're going to do a search, and we really like him. But we're obligated to do a search to talk to other people, to explore the waterfront, to make sure we're doing what is best for the Grizzlies. That would have been fine, too. This was fine. Whatever. I think if I were wagering, given what else we know, as you pointed out, and the key here was the players all, to a greater or less extent, no one said, pounded the table. I want him to be the coach. It'll be a huge mistake if he's not the coach. I'm going to demand a trade if he's not. No one said that, but they all, in their words, fundamentally endorsed him, right? I mean, they all.
Yeah, from what we heard from Ja and Jaren, this is what I was essentially doing most of yesterday afternoon, was just refreshing what DeMichael and what Drew were putting out on Twitter, you know, since they didn't have a video feed of this. And we got a statement from Ja saying, you know, it's been a really good environment with Duomas. It's been collaborative. We've talked well between each other. I think he's a great coach. And then Jaren says essentially the same thing right after.
Yeah, if you go to the Daily Memphian today, actually, there are three different pieces that I would commend to you. Chris has written a column about all this, and then Drew has a piece about what Zach Kleiman said. And then he has another piece about what the players all said. So you can get the exact words from Drew over at the Daily Memphian. But they all fundamentally endorsed him. And so now, is it? Did they say something else behind the scenes? Like you just don't know whether they are saying the exact same things when in the press conferences that they are saying elsewhere. But that is what they, you know, had to say about Isolo. Morant said this first about the offensive changes under Isolo. It doesn't matter to me. I just feel like as long as we're playing the right basketball, I don't care who the offense is built around or for. For me, as a point guard, I just go out and do my job. The job is not for me to score 30. It's to make everyone around me better. Whatever we come up with or whatever we run, that's how I attack the game. I'll do what asked of me. On Isolo specifically, I feel he's a good coach. For me, going into my film sessions or just talking about the game, I see and hear that he sees the same things that I see on the floor. I shouldn't say it's been surprising, but it's exciting. We continue to just pick each other's brain and try to find the best solutions for us offensively so we can be good at what we want to do. He's a big-time competitor. How I take my matchups, he does the same thing with the opposing head coach. I feel like that is all good signs in a coach. He's somebody that wants to go to war with you and holds everybody accountable, but he also instills all the confidence in you. That's pretty, you know, when he uses the word like exciting. So I don't know, like, again, these guys could be saying something else behind the scenes. And I think that's probably what matters more than what he says to the assembled media on the last day. But I think if I were, if I had to pick Isolo or the field, I'd take Isolo.
Yes, I would lean that way as well, from what we hear, what we understand,
And in terms of what we saw, listen, he didn't come in and give this team a great new coach bump, right? I do think it felt like they had, and Kleiman talked about this yesterday, somewhat let go of the rope under Taylor Jenkins, and it felt like they grabbed the rope of hell. They were fighting to the end Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that was promising. Some of the in-game stuff I thought was kind of questionable. You know, you get Conchar in there on game three, taking a three-pointer late in the game. There was, you know, challenges. I think maybe need some work on the deployment of challenges. And so there are some issues in in-game coaching that you, I think, strategically could wonder about. But I would bet that he is the coach going forward. I'm not either endorsing or condemning. I'm just seeing like that seems like the likeliest scenario. So we shall see. Okay. Then Drew, what's interesting to me about this next, and it's a long answer, so you're going to sit tight here and listen to this answer. But what's interesting is to me is how long the answer is, because Drew asks a very simple to the heart question. Basically, does he still believe in this core three? And you absolutely did not get a straight answer. It was kind of amazing how many words Zach Kleiman used to not answer this question. So settle down, get your cup of coffee, warm up your cup of coffee if you want, or whatever you're going to do. As George said, they didn't put this out. So here's the audio from Drew upon asking about his level of belief in the core three. All right, so there we go. That's Zach Kleiman. There was more, but what struck me, a lot of things, as he would say, a lot of things to unpack in there. He didn't obviously answer the question. Does he still believe that this core is good enough? That was the question, right? And you got all of that, right? And what struck me is that he sounds very defensive in there. He's answering questions that weren't asked. Like he says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but we didn't get intentionally younger. Well, that's not what the question was about, right? Whatever he like. And then another point, he's starting listing off the dogs because he's obviously heard the criticism that why are we so damn young? Why haven't we gotten veterans? And why don't we have any dogs? Like, why isn't this team soft, right? Those are criticisms that you'll hear floating around there. And so he answered those questions, even though he wasn't asked them. So it's clearly an organization, and it understandably, after getting swept from Oklahoma City by Oklahoma City, an organization, I think, that is a little bit on its heels and that is feeling somewhat defensive. Just to take those two things, by the way, yeah, they got unintentionally young because Jalen Wells was great, stunningly. Like, he was, what a magnificent pick by Kleiman and his group. Like, full points for that. But if you had capable veterans, he just wouldn't have played. He wouldn't have been in that role. He wouldn't have been asked to start. It wouldn't have been, if Jalen Wells gets hurt, we're going to get swept by Oklahoma City. That's not how it would have been if you would hit on Marcus Smart, for example, right? Or if Vince Williams had been what you thought, what would have been, whatever. So it wasn't just, we got unintentionally young because Jalen Wells was so great. No, no, you got unintentionally young because Jalen Wells was so great and the guys you were counting on weren't. It was two of that. And then I hate to say this, when you're listing your dogs and you got to include Cam Spencer, it's that's your, you know, I hope he plays a significant role going forward. But I do think that the toughness of this team is a legitimate question to ask. The problem is that the toughness question really with the core four, and it's unfair. We don't need to, they had the limitations too. We don't need to mythologize them now, but their best players were their tough players in all in different ways, right? Sebo, the definition of tough. Tony, incredibly tough. Mike played like all the time through a broken face, incredibly tough. Mark, just like incredible, like they're all tough guys, right? Here, you wouldn't call Jaron tough and you wouldn't call Ja tough, right? Like, so it starts with your, and then Dez can be kind of tough, but he's not tough-minded, doesn't appear to be tough-minded in the critical moments, right? Like, and so really that's part of the problem here is that so whatever. He didn't answer the question and he sounded defensive. I also fundamentally think Zach Klieman, like, let's take a step back. Here's the problem. I get to the core three issue. What's the right way to answer that? I'm not even saying he answered in it. I say his answer was revealing because it showed how defensive he was about certain things. And then he wasn't really able to answer that. But here's the problem. And here's the fundamental discussion we're going to have going forward. Should they quote unquote run it back? Should they blow it up? Should they trade one of the core three? Now, no one believes that they should run back the exact same team they have. No one. It's like saying, should they tank? No one was saying they should tank against Dallas in the play-in. They were wondering which would be better for the franchise if they won it or lost it. No one was saying they should tank it, and no one is saying they should, quote-unquote, run it back. However, unless you mean run it back is all three players could still be back here next year. Jaron, Ja, and Dez could all be back here next year. Is that running it back? What does running it back mean to you, George? If they have those three players all back here, mm-hmm. and Jalen Wells and Zach Edey all back here, and in fact, if that is the starting lineup next year, is that running it back, and would that enrage you?
It wouldn't enrage me, mainly because I think, especially based on what we heard from those players, from Edey and from Wells, those two guys, to me, have some of that, I think, tough-mindedness and have that forward-thinking mindset of growth. Both of them, who had, for all intents and purposes, very solid rookie seasons, plan on playing in the summer league. They plan on doing exactly whatever they can to improve, to get better for next season, and I think that's important. That said, I don't think the big three is necessarily the biggest issue as much as it is the periphery. It is the players around them.
The expense of the big three is becoming a much more bigger.
Agreed.
Two things we've seen. We've seen, okay, maybe the big three have more limitations than we imagined. Maybe they can't on their own carry you as high as we would have wished. But then secondly, as we are realizing that, we are also, the expense of the big three is becoming bigger and bigger. But here's the problem, because you're going to hear a lot of people say, can't bring those three players back.
Sure.
Can't possibly bring them back. And I know this is going to sound like I'm on the fence, but if you're trading one of them, what for? Like, what's coming back?
Yes.
Like, I hate to say this.
No, that's the question.
Sending them out is not an answer. Sending them out and getting something better back is an answer. And if you go through this group, Ja Morant is, as a talent, a top 10 talent in the league, but he has been severely damaged as a talent. His brand has been severely damaged. There is no way you can get anything close to full value for Ja Morant. Not even close. So you can trade Ja Morant or attempt to trade Ja Morant or whatever. He could. I mean, the truth of the matter is, we'll see. Again, what they're saying behind the scenes could be different. Some of this could be motivated by what they want. I think the only way Ja Morant is not here is if he doesn't want to be here. But there is just no trade that you can make with Ja Morant that is going to get you a better player or a better collection of players than Ja Morant. So let's go to the next guy. Jaren. You see what they look like when Jaren isn't on the court. Like they can't guard lately when he is on the court. When he's not on the court, they're a complete freaking disaster. Defensively, a complete disaster. Easily their best player this year. Does he have limitations? Yes. Do you think, oh my God, is he a max player? He's not Luka. He's not, if that's what a max player is. The problem is, once again, if you want to trade Jaren or let him, I mean, you could not extend his contract this summer. You could not, if he's an all-NBA player, you could decline to pay him the max and whatever else. Then, you know what he can do next year? Walk away for nothing. So, is this team better without Jaren Jackson Jr.? Not even close. And so then you get to Desmond Bane. Very clearly, Desmond Bane had a rough year. Too many turnovers. He's asked to be a ball handler. He's not suited to that role. Maybe he's overtaxed in that role. He's had some injury stuff that came up. He makes a lot of money. So let me ask you this. B+, A- player making what he's making. Do you think other teams are going to pay you for that? Like, if you've concluded that's what he is, do you think other teams are going to give you a player as good or better than Desmond Bane for that? Or as Chris Harrington suggested in his column, and read Chris's column today, you could try to, you know, get a couple of players, you know, break that salary up and get a couple of players who are effectively better than Desmond Bane. Everyone is going to be in here pounding the table for break this up, break this up, break this up. And the answer, I say, what for? For who?
Mm-hmm.
For who? And if your answer is they just have to, no, they don't. a trade to break something up.
That's what bad franchises do.
When it doesn't make you better,
yeah,
is stupid. You know what they said? They said, you know, Cleveland, know what they said last year? Can't possibly survive with, they got overlapping bigs and they got overlapping little guards. Can't possibly work. Break it up. Again, I'm not predicting that the Grizzlies are going to have a year next year like Cleveland is having this year. But, you know, sometimes, like, not breaking things up kind of works better than breaking things up. Now, here's the larger problem, though. You got a community that's screaming to break things up, or whatever, a lot of you are. I think you could argue that you could bring that team back. They won 48 games this year with a rookie Zach Edey and a rookie Jalen Wells as starters, and with Ja playing half the games, whatever it was. And they won 48 games. Now, you can tell me a lot of those games are against bad teams. That's fine. That's 48 wins, though. 48 wins is 48 wins. They played everybody. They played and they won 48 games. Why couldn't that team just with – literally, they're not going to do nothing, but let's say they do nothing. Why couldn't that team next year win 50-plus games? Don't you think Jalen Wells is going to be better, and don't you think Zach Edey is going to be better? Do you personally, George, believe that Zach Edey and Jalen Wells are going to be better next year?
I do, and in terms of them running it back, could they win more games? Absolutely.
Yeah,
there's variance.
So it's – now, again, they could win fewer games. Jaren could get hurt. You never know. Here's the problem, though, is that there's a lot of angst about this team, yep, and there's a lot of disconnect with this team in the city. And that, to me, is the larger problem. Because if you looked at the crowds on Thursday and if you looked at the crowds on Saturday, you will recognize that they weren't crowds, particularly Saturday.
Oh, I was working the game. Saturday was dead. It's like a graveyard up until tip.
And it was a... Now, was I surprised by that? I was not surprised by that.
Oh, neither was I.
I think it highlights the fact that people don't love this team. And people, you know, believe Memphis stuff. Nobody believed in this team. And I think I think it goes deep. Should people have been there because they love Memphis and they're Grizzlies and they're do or die, whatever else? You can argue that all they want. But to not acknowledge that that crowd, like they've been this city has experienced sweeps before. And there are better crowds than that, right? So you can't just say it's the city. It has to do something with the connection between the team and the city, right? And I believe that from the start of this season, I think the casualness about winning games, I think the emphasis on playing limited minutes and not knowing who the hell's going to play in any given game, I think that wears on fans. Honestly, like again, this is at least part of it. It's part of it. Part of it is that across the board in Memphis, attendance is down for everything. So some of this is a municipal issue. There's no question about that. You ask anyone. You ask if you're putting on a music festival or if you're Memphis Tigers or you're selling tickets to, it's down everywhere. And so it's not all specific to the Grizzlies at all. But I do think if you're the Grizzlies organization, you have to look at which part of this is specific, is what, like from our perspective, what went wrong. And then you have the collapse. You have firing the coach. You have you then get a matchup against a team that everyone believes is going to destroy you, that then does destroy you in historic fashion, 51 games. Then you come home and you collapse in historic fashion. And then you're playing a Saturday game without Ja for against a team that everyone knows is going to blow you out. Like, I wasn't surprised by this at all. And I honestly was an indictment of the city. Yeah, maybe. I think it's worrisome with the city. I think attendance is attendance was low at the start of the year when they were second in the West. When they were second in the West, attendance was low. And then it just completely collapsed. But I think some of that, let me ask you this. Like, who speaks for this, the team in this town? I've never cared that Robert Parra doesn't speak and isn't an owner or doesn't come to games, right? Whatever. Yeah. But like, no one does, right? Kleiman talked for 2 minutes. He did yesterday. But like, and Taylor Jenkins was word salad, you know, whatever, and sort of always felt weird. I've said this before. Yeah, just like, so I don't know. Like, I do believe there has been a lack of connection between this franchise and the city. And, you know, I have people texting me right now saying that they, you know, loved the days when it was Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks and whatever else. There, at least you did have competitors like Dogs. Now, maybe the Dogs, Zach Kleiman is the one who brought it up. The Dogs will be Jalen Wells and Zach Edey. I think Zach Edey's kind of a dog, actually.
He is.
You know, I think he's kind of a dog. And
he showed that on Saturday.
Jalen Wells is kind of a dog, like was never fazed by anything all season long. Kind of a dog. They could, that's the weird thing is, I secretly think they could be okay with just kind of adding a veteran or two and what a lot of you would call running it back. The problem is the level of discontent with this group so high that they have to do something other than that.
It feels like the level of discontent certainly has risen through the season, 100%. No doubt about that, especially, you know, with how things finished. But at what point does a franchise have to look at it and say, okay, we have to do what's best for us, what we think is best for on the court,
that's the thing.
Is there a disconnect there as well?
Overreacting and going and making a bad deal to get some whatever is not the way out of this.
Not at all. No.
Not at all the way out of this. Anyway. All right. Some of our thoughts. Listen, I said Zach Kleiman rambled. So did I. There's a lot to unpack there. And a lot of thoughts. The phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. You said a lot of other things that we can get into as well. But what do you want this team to do? And will you be unhappy if all three of the big three are on the team when this season commences? And any other thoughts about the season that just ended? 445-0929, 445-0929 is the phone number. George will be fielding your calls. We do have a lot else to talk about. Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock, and then we'll talk about the draft after that. Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's get right to the calls. George, your calls on the Grizzlies, 445-0929. What do you want?
I'm good with any of them.
Who do we got? No, I was talking to them. What do they want? Pick a name and let's just knock them off. Oh, you hit the button.
I did hit the button.
You did. Who are we talking to?
We're talking to Roy and Cordova.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we go, you then say.
Oh, you want me to name them off. I'll take it over. My bad.
We're getting our systems down. We're getting our systems down. Roy and Cordova. Roy, you're on.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, how are you?
We're listening to your show, and I got some questions.
Okay.
Do we know what the Grizzly record was the last nine games after Taylor was let go?
You can look it up. We certainly can look it up.
I believe they were 4-5 in the regular season.
There we go. That's, we got George handy.
It seems to me that if we had won one more game in that sequence after the coach was let go, that we wouldn't have been in a play-in situation, and we wouldn't have had to face OKC the first series. And I didn't hear that was a long explanation from Zach Kleiman, who we hardly ever hear from, and he didn't answer your question. You're quite right, and he also didn't accept any responsibility, which is a sign of lack of leadership, I think. So I'm really disappointed in him. Can we field a good team with the staff we've got? Yes, sir. Just the unfortunate thing of having two key bench players missing the entire series, plus then your star player of the last game and a half, we didn't have a chance. But as far as I'm concerned, the same squad can come back next year and dominate.
Okay. Thanks, Roy. I appreciate it. Now, in fairness to Zach Kleiman, he has other times definitely said, hand up, it's on me. Like he, and it is true if they'd won more games after the – it's also true if they'd won more games before he was fired. Yeah. Like those are the ones that actually I look at, like the losses to Brooklyn, the loss to the Bulls,
the loss to
San Antonio where he didn't play anybody. If you'd taken those games seriously and won them, they would not have been in that predicament. Who's next?
We have Frank on the line.
Frank, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. How's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think we're looking at this the wrong way?
Probably.
As we watch these playoffs, you know, we live here in Memphis, and we're pounded with the domination of Dez, Jaren, and Ja. Do you think that Dez, Jaren, and Ja are just complementary players?
No. I don't think they're complementary players under no circumstances.
I'm not necessarily saying complementary. Maybe they're not as good as we think they are.
Oh no, I think that's been the fundamental question now. Is that this season? Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I think this season has raised that question of are they? I mean, if you once thought, and that was really the essence of Drew's question, if you once thought that this was a championship core, it appears that it's not, right? Like that's to the essence of it. But we talked about this with Chris Harrington yesterday. Are they, quote-unquote, good enough? Chris then answered that with another question. Good enough for what? Like, what do you want them to be good enough to do? If the answer is good enough to be a competitive playoff team, that was Chris's answer. He said, isn't that good enough in the league? Like, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Like, so, but are they good enough to elevate this team by themselves to a championship? Very clearly not. They, by themselves, weren't good enough to get past Oklahoma City. Two of the three of them were good enough to hold on to a 29-point lead. So, but they're good. Like, they're good, and they're better than not having them. Like, you know, I don't know why. Like you can't just snap your fingers and wish for three better players. So that's the challenge. Who's next?
We've got Nick downtown.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Good. Yeah, it's a Monday, so you know.
Right.
I don't think they have to do too much. I mean, I've been on here plenty of times and said my piece, and I mean, I think all the changes that need to be made are internal, and I mean, I would be fine getting, you know, like a backup point guard or something, like a an older, like, I mean, I think this team is good enough. I think the core is good enough and everything. I just, you know, like I said, just, you know, a little bit better leadership, whether it's from ownership or, you know, like I said, add a veteran point guard off the bench when right. We don't have
so
guy.
He's happy. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. 445-0929. People are pretty reasonable so far. Who do we got? Not that I'm happy to take the other side of this too, because all opinions are welcome here. Go ahead.
We have Joe in Olive Branch.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I'm with the guys that have already stated what they've said. Like, keep it together for the most part. And I want to cite a couple of examples, and that would be the 2021 Bucks. You know, they had the bubble, they had 2019, Giannis was the MVP. There was a lot of prevalent thought in Milwaukee and in the league or nationwide, they're not going to get it done. They add Bobby Portis, which is really their only addition. They get it done. Then you have probably even...
Did they already have Holiday and Middleton? Like, what, do they already have Drew Holiday on that team?
I believe so,
okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Middleton hit some big shots in those playoffs. And then the Nuggets, they had regressed three straight years from bubble conference finals to semis to first round. They had, I think it was Bruce Brown and Christian Braun in the draft, and I think also Caldwell Pope.
And all of a sudden they're healthy. All of a sudden they're healthy.
Right.
Yep.
And I think the health bit is really key. It seems like the Grizzlies, if you take 2011 to present playoff run, 2011 they were healthy, Rudy was out, but you could argue, and I think it was proven empirically, they were better without Rudy running it through Zach and Mark. 13 they were healthy. They made the conference finals. 15 you obviously had Tony and then Mike with the face. Anytime we've just really been rattled by.
Yeah, then the question then becomes is that part of it though? Is with Ja in particular, is he ever going to be healthy? Does that come with the territory?
Well,
is it
I
like wishing
yes.
for good health on the part of Joel Embiid at this point?
Right. I think it's worth another year at least. And I do want to get a coach in a M.A. Adoka, Tyronn Lue mold more so than a Taylor-type mold. I think Ja and some of these guys really need someone that's a motivator but also someone they're going to respect.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. We'll take these calls. If they're on the line, George, we'll take them, and then we'll wrap it up after that. Go ahead. Who do we got?
Sounds good. We have Dennis in Whitehaven.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, good morning. Look, Jeff, the GM sounded like when your wife tells you to do something, you forgot to do it. I mean, this kind of explanation is dead. But a couple of points, man. I want to go on the other side like you said, but you bring up good points, man. I mean, for every reason that you broke down all the players, you just can't go get something for nothing. And like you said about Ja, I mean, what are you going to get equivalent to that? You look how they look without Jaren. I mean, what are you going to give for Dez? And so I think that is a great point. And also the last point I'd like to make is about Isolo. And you brought this up way back in the season. One of the things that I think that bit us in the butt is them not caring about playing players at certain times. You know, the games, you always brought it up, the games that you lost Brooklyn twice, you wouldn't have never had to be in this situation with this player management. Now, who knows if that was Taylor's decision by itself, but I'm just saying, like you used to say, man, you screwing these games around, and it came back to bite you in the butt. So, like you said, I don't know if Isolo's going to keep the job. It seems like they like him. So I'm like you. I think he will end up being there next year.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Who do we got, George?
We've got Kevin in Cordova.
Kevin? Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys.
Thoughts?
Jeff, you were wrong. You admitted it. But you made lots of great points.
Well, thank you. I try.
Well, I will agree with you that the core three needs to stay, but the what they need to do is, and if Jalen is healthy and if Ja is healthy, they're a really good team. The problem is that they don't have that grit and grind mentality that they used to have under Lionel Hollins, and who knows if we can get somebody like him back, but. And feel free to.
So where does it come from then, though? Where does it come from? Does it come from the head coach? Does it come from, like, was it Lionel or was it Zebo? And that's one of the things. It's baked into your three best players are Jaren, who, whatever he is, incredibly great guy, wonderful human being, and a very talented basketball player. like Pau Gasol before him, he is not a dog, right? However one defines that. And so, and then Ja, you know, he has his own kind of toughness, I guess, but he's breakable. So you can't really call Ja a dog in that mold. And so then, like, I don't know. It's your three best players. You're not wired that way. So I don't know. Now, we used to get it at the margins with Dylan and Steven Adams, right? Those guys were tough dudes. And maybe maybe Jalen Wells and
– I really liked was Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson.
And Kyle was tough-minded, so too. Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Can I talk some more?
Go ahead. Yeah. Please? Yeah, go ahead.
The NBA needs to do something about these undercutting fouls. I mean, it just destroyed our season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, to have Jalen Wells go out the way he did, I mean, that was just blatantly just horrible. And then, you know, and then Ja, he gets undercut so many times. The NBA needs to do something about, you know, start finding him or do something. Do you have any opinion on that?
I mean, I don't know in those two instances. We have to go now. I appreciate it. I don't know in those two instances, like, they were reckless. I didn't think either one was malicious, you know. Like Lou Dort is trying to get back to make a play. Like, so I don't know what you do there. They literally didn't even call it a flagrant, you know, they called it a common foul. So the idea that they would start fining for something that they considered a common foul, I don't know what you do there. If someone very clearly intentionally undercuts someone, I think that's a different story. I don't know that there's a solution there. All right, last call.
We've got D on the line.
Hey, D.
Good morning.
How are you?
Jeff, I'm well, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying the conversation this morning.
Thanks.
Jeff, I just want to say, man, respectfully, our GM got to go. And here's the reason why I say that. It's his team. He put it together. And if you and I are not producing at our job, they're going to get rid of us. They're going to get rid of us. We got to go.
Isn't 48 wins doing better than your, like, they were predicted, what, 46 and a half by Las Vegas? So they did better than their predicted win total. So if you have if you're working sales and you do better in sales than you actually were supposed to do for the year, and then you have a bad week, do you get fired? I mean, that's the counter argument, right? Is he not doing his job? They're one of the better teams in the league. They're clearly not one of the best teams in the league.
Jeff, this is all you need to know.
Uh-huh.
When we looked in the crowd, it was very sparse. And that lets you know the city does not have confidence.
I think that is true. I think that I don't know if they don't have confidence as GM. They very clearly lost belief in this team. All right, we got to go. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I don't think Zach Kleiman is going to lose his job, by the way. And I don't think he should. But all right, we'll talk to Chris Harrington about all this. If you're selling your house, Josh Heisa on the team at Keller Williams Realty, that's who you should call. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Spring is a great time to sell your house, by the way. And if you head on over to Josh Heisa, I met with him. Incredibly impressive. Flexible fees, no upfront cost. He'll let you out of your contract at any time. And listen, you hear how much he markets the services here. He markets your house with the same aggressiveness. You can see some houses out there with a yard sign in front of them week after week after week after week after week. That's not just because of the house. It's because of the realtor. Try Josh Heisa. More than 300 five-star Google reviews. Once again, 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington, when we return, then we'll get to the NFL draft. We'll talk about that as well. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.